Well, welcome, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you have a question that you'd like to pose, give us a call right now, 844-322-2742. That's the number in the U.S. and in Canada. Something you'd like to discuss? Open lines right now. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We've been talking about getting established in truth and how that really impacts our relationships and specifically marriage. So today we're going to take a little deeper dive into marriage and some of the tools, or one tool that I use to explain marriage to couples and premarital counseling, or if somebody's having difficulties in their marriage and they call and say, hey, can you help? This is a diagram that I use, and so we're just going to look at it. It's a real simple diagram. It's three circles. Looks like a snowman.
Uh-huh.
But it's a very, very important diagram. But before we get to that, I want to first read Matthew chapter 19. Jesus is asked a question about divorce. And to answer that, he goes back to the very beginning, Genesis, and explains marriage, how God designed it. And so this is what he said: have you not read that he who created them from beginning made them male and female? So he made us different. He made male and female, and he did that for a purpose. And he said, and said, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. And what God has joined together, let no man separate. So that's marriage as God designed it, as the Bible speaks of it. Very simple. It's a male. It's a female. The male leaves his mom and dad, and he clings to his wife, and the two become one flesh. So how does that work in practical, everyday life? And here's where this diagram comes into play. So we have three circles, one circle on top of another. And this represents a human being. So a human being is made up of three parts: spirit, soul, and body. And at each level, we have needs. We have spiritual needs, we have soulish needs, and we have bodily needs. And if those needs aren't met, we're going to die at that level. So when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they chose independence from God rather than dependence upon God, and they died spiritually. So all of us come into this world dead spiritually. And those needs, those spiritual needs of unconditional love, unconditional acceptance, meaning and purpose to life, instead of seeking God and trusting him to meet those needs for us in Jesus, lost people try to get those needs met, those spiritual needs met in the world. We try to get them met from one another. Now, that's going to handicap marriage right at the beginning. So if we want a successful marriage, we have to first have our spiritual needs met by God himself, a spiritual being. And he does that through the gospel of Jesus Christ. So you and I were dead spiritually. When we come to faith in Jesus, we're made alive. So ideally, when two people come together in marriage, it's two Christians, two people who've been made fully alive in Christ, who are getting their spiritual needs met from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why is that important? Because as we draw and rest and trust in Jesus Christ, and we draw upon his love, his unconditional acceptance to meet those spiritual needs, it frees us up on the soulish and bodily levels to serve our mates in love. So instead of having to take from our mates in order to get our spiritual needs met, we're free to actually give to them in service, serving one another in love. So when Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 5 that husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church, That's impossible for a husband to do if he is not first fully alive in Christ and is trusting and drawing upon Christ to meet those spiritual needs. And if that's the case, then he is free to actually love his wife as Christ loves the church. It's the same for the woman. If she is not fully alive in Christ, then it's impossible for her to be submissive and respectful to her husband, as that passage in Ephesians describes. So for marriage to work, you know, it's hard. It's difficult. Yeah. Relationships are very difficult. They're very difficult in such an intimate setting called marriage. That's why our divorce rate is so high, not only here in America, but around the world. That's why millennials are choosing not to get married, because they've seen what it looks like in their parents, and it wasn't a good picture. So we want to have this deal where Christians are recognizing that they have something unique, that they can experience marriage in a way that's head and shoulders above the rest of the world. Why? Because they actually have the life of Christ living in them and can share that life in very specific and tangible ways with one another through the soulish functions and the bodily functions.
Yeah.
That's what marriage is all about. So that's why it's important. The best thing that you can do for your mate, if both of you are believers, is to encourage your mate to grow in the grace of God and grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a person grows in the grace of God, they're going to become more free to share that love in this unique relationship that we call marriage.
Yeah. Well, this all ties together, of course, with our theme this month of being established in truth. If you want to grow and mature as a believer, if your Christian life is to be abundant and full, well, you need to be established in that truth. That's the title, of course, of Bob's latest CD, Established in Truth, and it homes in on what it means to stand firm, to be established in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'd like you to have a copy, friends, and we'll send you one when you make your February gift to Basic Gospel. Just click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. Either way, we'll get a copy of this important new CD, Established in Truth, on the way to you. Again, donate online at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. Now, that same number is available right now if you have a question you'd like to pose to us here at Basic Gospel on this particular edition. Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, my name is Bob Davis. We want you to come in and be a part of this edition. 844-322-2742.
Thanks, Bob. Let's go out to San Mateo, California, and talk to John. Hi, John.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I've been a Christian all my life, and I've been struggling with the inheritance of sin. My question to you is kind of related to what just you said. You said we were born sinners. We were born with a fallen nature. Now, the angels, God created the angels without sin, and they chose to disobey God, and then he cast them to hell. Now, we as human beings, we had no choice of being born with the fallen nature. And God allowed us to be born with the fallen nature. Say, for example, if God forbids that an FBI stormed your studio and they handcuff you, took you to jail, and then, like, after a month, you go stand in front of the judge, and you said, "Judge, I didn't do nothing. I didn't kill nobody. I didn't steal nothing. I didn't abuse my wife or children. I didn't rob a bank. I didn't commit any crime. Why am I here?" He said, "Not you. Your great-great-grandfather in 1901 committed murder. Now we're going to charge you with that murder." So would that be just or unjust? Of course it's unjust. How come we as a fallen people cannot do that to each other? And God, the holy God, the perfect God, did that to us. He charged us with Adam's crime, which we have nothing to do with it.
Well, John, you're not being charged with Adam's crime. You just inherited Adam's nature. Now, you've committed your own sins, John. All have sinned. Yeah, but all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I mean, if you were in Adam's shoes, you would have chosen the same thing. In light of the temptation that was there, so that was he was the representative for all humanity. But John, you've sinned and you've fallen short of the glory of God. But there's an offer of life. There's an offer of forgiveness for you in Christ Jesus. So Adam and Eve chose death. They were alive. They were created fully alive. And when given the option, they chose death. You come into this world dead spiritually, and through the gospel of Jesus Christ, you can choose life. And that's what faith is all about. God saves us by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So you, John, like me and like Bob and like Richard, and every single human being, we all come into this world in exactly the same way. And God has provided a solution for us in Jesus. You and I were dead. Jesus Christ has life. He came to give us his very life. So what do we do with that? We can try to argue that it's unjust or unfair, or we can receive the life of Christ that God has provided for us. It's just that simple.
I agree with you, but the thing is, like you said, we inherited Adam's nature, which is a sinful nature. That's why we sin. For another quick example, you cannot blame a bird for flying, or you cannot blame a fish for swimming in the water, because
God created them that way.
Yeah. Exactly. So we were created with a sinful nature. That's why we sin.
Well, we weren't created. Let me jump in, John. We were not created with a sinful nature. We were created in the image of God. That's how Adam and Eve just showed up. They were created in the image of God. They had this incredible relationship with God. They walked with God in the garden. There was innocence. There was purity. There was stamped all over that goodness. God looked at Adam and Eve, and he proclaimed that his creation of mankind in the very image of God was good. And then Satan came, and he tried to mess with God's creation, and he did. He did in such a way that he lured Adam and Eve away from the tree of life to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They ate of that tree, and they died. Now, that became our human condition. We were separated from the life of God. That's not how we were created. That's how we became in Adam. So Jesus came. He's the second Adam. He lived perfectly, a sinless life. He walked in love. He walked in perfect obedience and independence upon his Father. He became the perfect sacrifice. He offered himself once and for all, that satisfied everything that God demanded. He became that second Adam who became a life-giving spirit. So we can try to figure all this out in our minds, and it's just going to blow our minds. Or we can trust what God has done for us in Jesus. So God is not unfair. God is not unjust. As a matter of fact, he shows just how just and fair and righteous he is in sending Jesus to die in our place so that we could receive his very life. So, John, let me ask you, have you received the life of Christ?
Yeah, of course. Of course. Praise the Lord. I've been Christian all my life.
Then you've been made new in Christ. You have a new heart. You have a new nature. And now as you trust the Lord, and walk by the Spirit, you won't give in to the desires of the flesh, and you can see the fruit of God's life expressed through you.
amen to that. Don't you think, one final thought, don't you think it would have been fair, like if God, when God created Adam and Eve and they fell in sin, then okay, he let them die and then create another Adam and Eve, and if they sin again, they die. And then the third one, they don't sin, then they inherit the kingdom of God. Don't you think that would have been fair, more than just us to inherit Adam's nature?
No, I don't, John, because that's not the way God designed it.
Doing that, God would have had to say, I was wrong. God is never wrong. He is not responsible for sin. Satan is. Adam and Eve failed, and God said, I'm not going to let their failure taint all of humanity. It will taint it as long as people won't accept me. But I'm going to provide that way out. And so that's how he was both just and the justifier, because he brought Jesus to bear to this incredible problem, and well-stated problem. I mean, you look at it just from a human standpoint, and you go, huh? But when you look at it from God's standpoint, he says, I'm not willing for all these people to perish. If they will accept me, I can bring them back to myself, I can recreate them, and I can conform them to the image they lost in Adam, but gain in Jesus.
Amen. Amen to that. Praise the Lord. Thank you very much for your answer. I appreciate it.
Hey, you're welcome, John. Thanks for your call.
Yeah, thanks, John. Good to hear from you. 844-322-2742. Again, open lines available right now, 844-322-2742. Friends, if you downloaded the Basic Gospel app yet, if not, it's a wonderful way that you can stay connected with this ministry every day. You can listen live. You can access the archive. You can send us a question, or you can make a donation. You can do it all with the Basic Gospel app. Just download it today if you can.
Yes, indeed. And we have a church, for example, in Plainfield, Indiana, and the pastor there, Tim Roller, is encouraging every one of his congregants to download the Basic Gospel app. So he's just got a ton of the people up there
awesome. tuning
in every day, and that's exciting. So
yes,
this app is available. You can ask your question. You can listen at your convenience. It's just a great way to stay connected to Basic Gospel.
Absolutely. Well, we got a call from Diane in Idaho. Let's listen to that call right now.
Hi, my name is Diana. My question is, the Bible says that if anyone blasphemes the Holy Spirit, that's an unpardonable sin. I was talking to a young lady, and she said that doesn't apply to people that are unsaved. It only applied to people back in the Old Testament time. She didn't quite make sense. Because it says that once you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, that's it. Judgment comes. So if you could just clear that up, I sure would like to know what you have to say about that, and that's going to help me out. God bless you. Praying for y'all. Take care.
Well, Diana, thank you. I don't know what Bible her friend is reading, but, it's very clear that the unpardonable sin is something that only unbelievers can commit. If
yes.
you're a Christian, you cannot commit the unpardonable sin. Why? The unpardonable sin is the rejection of Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Now, when Jesus was talking about the unpardonable sin, and he was speaking to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees were basically saying that Jesus was doing all of the miracles through the power of Beelzebub, or Satan. And so they were attributing the works of God to Satan.
Yes.
And Jesus says, you can blaspheme me, you can blaspheme whatever, but once you start blaspheming the Spirit, then that's unpardonable. Now, here's why that's the case, because God has sent the Spirit into the world to convict the world wrong, and that's important to know, to convict the world.
Yes.
Not believers, but the world, wrong about sin, righteousness, and judgment. About sin, because the world does not believe in Jesus. So what is the sin of the world? It is unbelief in Jesus. Now that sin, that singular sin, unbelief in Jesus, manifests itself in many types of sins.
Yes.
But underneath them all is this unbelief in Jesus. Now, the gospel comes, the Holy Spirit is going to do his work to open a person's eyes to the truth of the gospel and to turn them from unbelief to belief. Now, there's going to be many people who reject that and say, I want nothing to do with Jesus. I want nothing to do with God. I want nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. So I reject. Well, if they keep rejecting and keep rejecting, their heart begins to harden, becomes calloused, and eventually they're just going to raise their fist and say, away, away from me. And so they are rejecting Jesus. That is the unpardonable sin. And there's, you know, once a person dies and they die rejecting Jesus, there's no going back.
Yeah.
There is absolutely no going back. But once you've gone from unbelief to belief, once you've repented and been saved, there's no way you can commit that unpardonable sin. Why? Because God has promised and has committed himself to conforming you to the image of his Son. He has committed himself to completing the work that he began in you, and he has promised that he will never leave you nor forsake you, and the very life of Christ is indestructible, and his life has now become your life.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
good news, isn't it?
Sure is. One of the things that finally dawned on me when I was wrestling with this question in my earlier life is that in reality, I'm living as a lost person. I'm living the unpardonable sin. I'm living in unbelief, and it can't be forgiven. And yet, Jesus came, died for that sin, rose again, and then sends the Holy Spirit to me as a lost person and says, are you willing to change your mind?
Yes.
Are you willing to consider something else? And as soon as that first glimmer of repentance is there, then you've repented of that so-called unforgivable sin, and now you're forgiven.
Yes.
You move from death to life. That's all we're talking about. Do you want to stay in death, or do you want to move to life? Jesus is that
right,
answer.
Right, right. And every, you know, if a friend is saying, you know, once you commit it, then comes the judgment. Well, first, something else has to happen, death.
Death has to happen.
And then comes the judgment. That's how the writer of Hebrews says it. And we see some examples. For example, there was a king who accepted worship, mm-hmm. and people bowed down and said, you're a voice of God. And he accepted that, died right on the spot. And what was he saying is that I am God myself.
Yes.
And you should worship me. Well, that is an extreme case of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Because if you're listening to what the Holy Spirit has to say, your pride is going to turn to humility, and you're going to be put into a position to receive what only God can provide in Jesus Christ.
Yeah. That's good stuff.
Yes.
That'll preach.
I think so.
Well, we, of course, love hearing from you, our listeners. And if you have a question overnight, sometime when we're not actually on the air, give us a call. We have an all 24-hour phone line called 844-322-2742, and we would love to hear from you. Love to address your question as we have Diana's on today's broadcast. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. I want to remind you also that, we actually invite you to the live broadcast every day. We're streaming live video to both our Facebook and YouTube channels. So come on in and see what goes on inside the studio every day here at Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and I invite you to do just exactly that. Well, keep in mind, friends, the new CD by Bob Christopher called Established in Truth, a message that will encourage you to grow as a believer and to be established in a full and abundant life in our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Established in Truth is Basic Gospel's gift back to you as you donate to support this message of God's unconditional love and grace during the month of February. To make a gift and receive your copy, just click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to that same number, 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742, or donate, as I said, online at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all the ministry team at Basic Gospel, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll be back tomorrow at the same time. I hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.